the last time I preached, we used the bulletin, and I gave us kind of some homework assignments. Mike and I have been putting on part of the bulletin, a place for you to take notes. Well, today I want you to, before I even read the scripture, I want you to do something. So grab your bulletin and something to write with. If there's not something for you to write with in the pew, go around. We grab a pen and a pencil in the pew in front of you. But I want you to open it, your bulletin up where it says Notes from Who's at the Table, which is the title of my sermon today. And I want you to take your paper and just draw a line kind of down the middle, a couple of rows, just divide it into two columns. You kind of got that? Just write down so you got two columns. Now, I'm not going to take a long time doing this. I want just the first couple of things that kind of come to your mind. We'll be using this later on in the sermon. But I want you to think about yourself and what you would consider to be your deficits. Mine might be dancing. Anyway, you want to make a list of things that you consider to be your deficits. Just write a few. Right? This is just for you. Just make a quick list of things that you consider yourself having kind of a deficiency in, a deficit. It may be physical, it may be emotional, it may be mental, it may be spiritual. Take a couple of moments and jot down a few things that for you you consider to be deficits. Okay, I'm going to move us from that. You can keep adding to this if you want it, as things come to you. But I want you to, on the other side, write down, jot down a few things that for you, you really consider to be gifts, talents, gifts that God's given you, things in your own life that you really consider kind of a part of you, a gift, a talent that you've been graced with in your life. Write those on the right side. Okay. Again, if there are things you think of, you can add to them. Just kind of lay that aside. We're going to come back to it. But if you will, would you please stand at this time for our morning scripture lesson? And let me put this a little bit in context, because in the scripture lesson, Jesus is going to visit. He's been invited to a dinner. And the first verses are preparation of what happens before he ever gets to this dinner. And then we'll join with him actually at the dinner in some instructions that he gives. If you have your Bibles and want to read with me, it's the 14th chapter of Luke, beginning with the first verse. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then in front of him was a man who had dropsy, kind of like an edema, extra fluid. And Jesus asked the lawyers and the Pharisees who were watching him, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent, so Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to those watching, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they cannot reply to this. We now join him at the dinner. Verse 7, when he noticed how the guest chose the place of honor, he told the guest a parable. "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, 'Give this person your place.' And then in disgrace you would start to take the lower place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." He said also to the one who had invited him. So now he's going to talk to the host. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors in case they might invite you in return, and you would then be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Yesterday, we held a leadership training event for leaders at First Church. It was a wonderful, wonderful event. Significant time, and we're very thankful for all those who came and for those of you who provided such excellent leadership. At the end of our session, one of our church members came up to me and was talking with me about the theme that we have embraced as a congregation for 2012. If you're visitors in our midst, or if you're not aware of this, we're really embracing as a church the whole theme of beloved, in 2012. And the question he asked of me was, what's the difference between loved and beloved? It's a good question. And I'm hoping as we go through this year, we may grow in our understanding about what are the differences. What is it to be beloved? What is it to treat someone as beloved? And I realized as I pondered his question, it really has a lot to do to me with our scripture today that we just read. You know, when we love, it's an action. It's an emotion. It's an affection. There's something a little slightly different to me with beloved. It implies a close relationship. A close relationship. I love all of you. Am I treating you as a beloved, as an intimate, personal, close connection? Jim is my beloved. I have a beloved relationship that's a little different than relationships with others. In this scripture, I believe Jesus calls us to move beyond a knowing, being kind, gentle loving, into a radical understanding and embracing of the other. Do you know, in all the scriptures, it's never recorded that Jesus says the words, I love you. And yet there's no one that's ever entered our world that we understand with as much love as we do Christ. And I've thought about that. Why? Why were there not those words? Loving is at least 95% more about the action than the saying. It's important to say, but how much more important is it to live out, and to show in our practice? And that's what Jesus did. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, we experience Christ sitting with someone, encountering someone, and connecting. He moved beyond the veneer into the depth of relationship. I believe in his scripture today, the scripture that we read, that is what Jesus was able to do, to move beyond the status and norms of a person into the reality of their life and validate their worth. Think about it. So to Jesus, he not only loved, but he treated others as beloved. In Jesus' day, there were pretty strict social expectations. Now think about the table that he describes. In his day, to invite someone to your home was kind of a reciprocal effect. Persons were invited in to dinner who were family, important people perhaps in the community that you wanted to honor. And part of the reciprocal fashion was that those individuals would then invite you to their home. Jesus moves in the face of this, and he tells the host to be humble, even at the risk of losing his status or perhaps his wealth. He gave pretty clear instructions on whom we are to invite to our dinners, and it was different than the society around him generally honored. Who do we invite to our tables? How seriously do we take our own table? Who do we invite? Who do we tolerate? Who do we kind of say hi to? And who do we really move into that beloved relationship, that more personal relationship at our tables? And I invite us to consider this in our homes and in our table at church here. I thought a lot about this week about what my own table is like. If you came to my house right now, our table has a lot of stuff on it. Jim and I will often sit in front of the TV. But our home, part of what we try to work with is an openness. And I've questioned myself, how open is my table really? What is our church's table like? How humble are we? How open are we? Are we able to move to treating those who come to our table as beloved? As beloved. Today is Disability Awareness Sunday. It's a Sunday when the last few years we as a congregation have, through our wonderful Access team, invited persons who have family members with disabilities to come and speak with us. We have had persons to come and help in worship leadership, musicians, singers, bell ringers. I can't thank the Access team enough, and we as a staff, for the work that you have done on our behalf to help raise our awareness as a congregation. This year, the team they have a very limited budget, and they chose to, instead of using those precious funds in our worship service, to place them in some other energies and directions of ministry. I'm going to speak about that in a minute. But before I do, I want to help us reflect a little bit about how far have we come in our awareness to our friends with special needs who come to our table. And I have to start as a denomination. You know, we all have things that we like and dislike about the United Methodist Church as a whole. I love the part of our denomination that has a real commitment to open doors, open minds, open hearts. It's part of our denomination to welcome those who may not always be welcome at other places and by other people. But we believe that part of our Christian walk as United Methodist is to strive towards open doors, open minds, open hearts. You know, there are ramifications to being open. Whenever we start to open ourselves to another who is different from us, we have the opportunity to grow in our awareness, and it bumps sometimes into our comfort levels. And sometimes we discover we haven't been quite as open as we thought. And I want to speak personally to you from my heart to your heart through Christ's heart. the last, oh, I guess 8 months or so, something has been working differently in me, and that something is God. I feel, I don't know how you experience God in your life, but there are times that God just nudges me and just nudges me and just keeps nudging me. And I really felt God nudging me, and it's been in the area of Access Ministries. Began before Marlon Snyder joined us as the Minister of Congregational Care. And when he came on board, it allowed us a little different way to use some of our energies. And God kept nudging me about this. And so as I can really clearly remember saying, Lord, it's not like I don't have enough to do. You know, you just got to be kidding about this. But he kept nudging me. And in my own way, I began a process of trying to understand more. And in my growing pains, there's some things that I've noticed and learned, and I want to share a few of those with you. And the first thing, I've got to be honest, is I don't like the term special needs. We all have them. I don't like the term disability. We have disabilities too. I really don't like the term intellectually or physically disabled. But I got to tell you, those terms are better than other terms in history which we have used, which are degrading. What I've come to realize that I don't like about those terms is the limits it can put on us. Now, go to your bulletin. The little list that you made. If you look at the left side, which is your deficits, and you put your hand over the right side, which are your gifts, and people only experienced you as your deficits, would you be a happy camper? Would they be experiencing you? No. Now, if you look at your gifts on the other side, boy, we want people to be able to experience our gifts, our giftedness. But if they experience our giftedness and no knowledge of some of our deficiencies, have they experienced the whole us? Uh-uh. We are the whole thing. We are all, each one of us, composed of gifts and deficits. And part of our life journey is living with those, sometimes discovering new deficits as we get older. Mike isn't dancing nearly as well as you used to, by the way. You know, we experience ourselves differently. Our bodies change. So my problem with the words is that they can move us into stereotypes that can keep us from relationship. They're important terms, but only as they inform us and do not limit us in understanding another human being and valuing them. I've come to recognize that in the past, being around disabled people has sometimes made me feel awkward and uncomfortable. I don't think I'm alone. There have been times that I have felt very self-conscious and quite honestly have not moved into relationships, but have held back. I'm a bit of a control freak, and when things are a little beyond my control, sometimes I get noisy and unexpected responses. I don't quite know what to do. Allison, when everybody was dancing, I was trying really hard. And it's like, I really was. And dancing's one of my deficits. But there's something powerful that happens in us when we don't have to be in control. And we can embrace another human being as who they are and receive the gifts that they bring to us as well as the gifts we can bring to them. I've come to recognize, as I've tried to move into closer understanding and relationship, there is a tremendous joy, a joy beyond joys, in loving a person with disabilities. and being loved by them. It is a two-way street. I believe persons with disabilities challenge us to be more fully human and compassionate, and to recognize the presence of God in each person. This requires us to sacrifice, to stretch our hearts, to stretch sometimes our comfort zones, to gradually become more like Christ. More like Christ. Jesus knew this, which is why he directs us to open our tables and relate and value and honor. In the last 6 months, I've come to understand, and it's kind of like, duh, Lucretia, why didn't you get it before? But I didn't. The unique challenges for families and parents who live with a person with special needs. It can be not only challenging, but at times it can be exhausting. And there is a huge need for us as a congregation to really get that and understand and support each other and welcome each other, to be able to provide opportunities for families to receive care and support. Times to worship together. To worship together. I've learned that sometimes we limit our expectations of the other. We can limit our expectations of community and of involvement and participation. Friends, we need to affirm each person who comes to our table and be able to not only welcome their unique contributions, but participate in the development of each and every person's Christian formation who comes through our doors. There are a lot of other things that I've learned, but I want to share with you some of the opportunities that we have before us. The Access team in our midst, they diligently work and they lovingly press on, and it is our honor and opportunity to walk with them where I believe they are leading us and helping us take steps towards being the beloved community. I'm going to mention just briefly three opportunities we have. The last Saturday of this month is Day of Pampering. Now, the Day of Pampering, the 25th, is a day that we invite caregivers of persons with special needs to come into our church, and it's transformed. If you've not been a part of this, if you've not seen it, it's perhaps one of the finer things we do. As a congregation, we are humble. We need to be humble, and we honor people who have day in and day out and day in and day out a lifetime of care of those with special needs. I'd encourage you to be a part of that. You can be a part in a lot of different ways. We still need service providers. Many of these caregivers are women. We do hair, nails, makeup, massages. There's still a need for hostesses for table. Bodies to be friendly. Bodies to move furniture. There are a number of different ways that you can participate to be a welcoming spirit for those who come to our table that day. And they don't know I'm going to do this. I know we're running on time, but let me ask, if you are part of the Access Ministries team or one of the component members, we have some special task forces, which I'll speak to in a minute. We have a class. There's a Rejoicing Spirits group that we'll be forming. If you are a part of, in some way, the Access Ministries team, would you just stand? Just stand. Trudy, hop up. Yeah. Some of you, we've got, good. I don't know who all I might be missing. We had, thank you. Thank you, Shannon. These are some of the persons, you can sit back down. These are some of the persons who, as I speak, direct your energies to. Tracy Rinelli, you're another. There's a larger group who is moving. If you have an interest in day pampering, speak to me. Speak to one of the persons who stood. One of the new directions that Access Ministries is helping lead us in is a new class. It's a class that will occur during the second worship service. It will begin later on in the spring. You'll hear about it. But it's a class for children with special needs. Currently, some of our children have a shepherd. It's another opportunity for involvement, a shepherd to shepherd them in our ongoing Sunday school classes. But this class is being designed to help tailor Christian formation for children with special needs so that every individual will have a kind of a tailor-made Christian formation experience. Later on, still in the year, probably early summer, Rejoicing Spirits, and you'll be hearing about this, it's a worship service, a very innovative worship service that's being designed to be adapting to welcoming persons with disabilities and their families and us, all of us. It is a marvelous experience. Some of us have been to Rejoicing Spirits worship services around the state, and you are in for a treat of understanding the glory of God through spontaneity and the receiving of a beloved community. This will begin, like I said, later on in the year. It will occur one Sunday afternoon a month at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Stay posted. Be in prayer for this significant ministry. There are families who never get to church, never have the opportunity to worship, because their lives don't quite fit with what church services sometimes can provide. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, the 20 verse, 5th verse, undergirds, I believe, the ministry that Access is helping so tenderly to lead us towards. And the verse says, so there should be no division in the body, but all its parts should have equal concern for each other. That's the kind of table we want to be setting. Jim and I were talking, my husband, this past week about the tables. And he shared a story which he's given me permission to share with you. Hopefully it's going to be helpful. When you think about the family table that you grew up in or you currently have, my guess is there was an order to it. Some of us sat at tables where everybody had a certain place. We have all different kinds of tables. The table that Jim grew up at was one of those tables where everybody had a spot, an assigned seat. I'm seeing some nods. Some of you have had that. An assigned seat. And that worked well until his dad died. Jim's dad died when he was 9 years old. And when his dad died, there was the empty chair. And so what his mother did is she got the oldest boy, Cliff, to sit at that seat. And that went well for a couple of years until Cliff went off to high school or to college. And when he did, there was Clifford, then there were two girls, Judy and Sharon, and then Jim, and then two boys. He had a big family. His mother skipped over the girls and went to Jim, who is now 13, to sit at his dad's former place. Jim says his sisters did not like that. You know, they got jumped over. And he couldn't understand why they were so angry. Now you ended up marrying an uppity woman. You began to understand more about equality. You grew up more. But his sisters really complained about this for years. And then Judy, one of the sisters, had her own home. And she went to buy her own table for her home. And she came home with a circular table. A circular table. It strikes me that at that circular table, there's mutuality. At that circular table, everyone symbolically was to be valued equally. And their contributions were to be shared and cherished and treasured. That is the kind of table we want to set at the church. That is the kind of table Christ calls us towards. That is the kind of table I believe Access Ministries is helping to encourage us to do. A table where places aren't just set. We're not expected to reciprocate. It's not about who's at my table this week. It's about valuing and cherishing each who is at our table and respecting them and understanding them, receiving their contributions and our also contributing. We grow up. I think we're in a growth spurt in our church. And part of our growing up is looking a little differently at who's at the table. Are we up to that challenge? I invite you to share with me in a prayer together in our response. O God, who sets us on a journey to discover, dream, and grow, stir our spirits. O loving God, who created us to explore, bringing new insights, changes, and choices we must face, give us wisdom, guiding, give us courage for the journey of stretching beyond our comfort zones. Creative, loving God, excite our hearts and minds to trace new truths, to catch creation's flare, to trust your vision beyond what we can see, and to live within the context of your grace, compassion, and love. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so be it. Would you stand?